One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Hello. Thank you for joining us at Radio RMN on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. This is Dr. Robin Falcoff, and today we have a very interesting lineup. And first, I just want to bring you all up to date about our very own Raylan. And she's totally worn out. She had a terrible incident yesterday, and we don't have any definitive information about what happened. So we're waiting for more tests. But she is at home. She didn't have to stay in the hospital, and she is feeling better, just totally wiped out. So all your prayers and good thoughts and any help you can provide will be greatly welcomed. And we will, you know, if there's any update during the show, I will be happy to let everybody know. And for those of you who have not heard my shows before, I'm a doctor of Oriental medicine. I'm also a homeopathic physician, and my website is healthfreedomrights.com, and that is what my focus is, protecting our health freedom rights and letting everybody know what's at stake and what is being lost. And the current issue there is for each and every one of you to contact your senators and tell them, do not support John McCain's bill, which will damage our access to nutritional supplements and repeal all of the wonderful progress that had been made by the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act back in 1994. Many other details, but today's show is going to be quite exciting. Stephen Bassett is back with us, and Stephen is a leading advocate for ending the 62-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. He is a political activist, commentator, and columnist. He is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group and the Political Action Committee, XPAC. And he is also the executive producer of the X Conference. His work has been extensively covered by the media, and I believe the X Conference will be held this year in Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club, but Steve can give us more information about that later. Stephen's website is paradigmresearchgroup.org, and there's an x-conference.com and factsonwashington.org, but we'll give the rest of these out to you, and this information's been posted. And our second guest, I know our audience is very familiar. It's Charles Osman, and gosh, I had so much fun seeing Charles, even though it was briefly, and Steve, and we were all together at Conscious Life Expo, and Charles was one of the speakers that I brought there for our health segment, and we were on the panel together, and Charles gave a wonderful presentation. And for those of you who have not heard Charles before, he is currently the chair of the Technology Development Committee of NanoSig, which is a nonprofit nanotechnology development institution with the specific objective of facilitating investment opportunities in nanotechnology-related ventures. He is also a senior fellow at the Institute for Global Futures, a strategic technologies consulting group which provides research and analysis and business development services to Fortune 500 companies and institutions worldwide, with a particular focus toward examining the synergistic relationships between emergent advanced technologies and the business environments in which they may be fostered. Now, Charles has 25-plus years' experience in the fields of electronics, physics, material sciences, computing, and artificial intelligence, including 8 years at Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory at the University of California, Los Alamos National Laboratories. Subsequent professional experience encompasses a diverse range of technical development projects at facilities including, gosh, so many, GTE Lenkert, Litton, Lucas Films, Phoenix Laser Systems, Omni Scientific. There's just so many things that Charles is involved with and that he has worked on, and hopefully some of these will be areas that he's allowed to discuss with us. So, welcome, guys. It is a pleasure to be talking with you both again.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Steve.
Yes, Doctor, it's nice to be with you. Nice to see you. I'm with you, Robin.
We've got a bad connection.
Yeah, it's really fuzzy on Steve's side. I'm sorry for that.
I think the board might have to call you back. It's all feedback. I couldn't understand what you said, Steve.
Okay. But no, not my line. I'd rather they could just call me back and maybe get another.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. I will ask them to try you again because there's a really bad echo. So, okay.
Thanks.
Just stand by. Thank you.
Technology is so marvelous, isn't it?
Yeah. And I thought, my phone is okay today.
No, he's not fine. He's like right here in my living room.
Ah, okay. And you sound like you're right here in mine.
Well, see, there we go.
Yeah, gosh. I was taking a look at the article that you sent me, and I guess I'm wondering if there's some way I can put up a link for our guests about it. And it's an interesting...
Oh, the anti-depression drugs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because this is something I have been doing a lot of research
about. I know, and it's probably if I had to pick any one topic, that's the one I'm most passionate about, because I feel that the drugging of our children is a really bad idea. This is just not where we should be going. This whole idea of treating ADA and depression and all these other sort of quasi-realistic but sometimes over-amplified sort of pathologies, which have more to do, I think, with diet and lifestyle and other things, and you know, they just want to sell more pharmaceuticals.
Most
and
assuredly.
Creating a nation of zombies, in my opinion, but that's how I see it.
Well, I guess it might be boring for the audience because we both agree with each other. So, I mean, that's why our country is in the dumps that it's in.
One of the main reasons, yeah, exactly so. And the healthcare debate we hear at this very moment is a piece of that puzzle.
Gosh, Charles, I feel so guilty, but I listen, and every time they're saying we have the best healthcare in the world, I have to turn it off.
We can't even start with that. But here's what I want to start with. I have a lot of respect for Steve Bassett. I have a lot of respect for Paradigm. I'd love to be a speaker at their conference, actually, but we probably have some fundamental differences in opinion, but I say that with great respect, and I absolutely want to explore Steve's positions, and then I can, you know, offer some counter positions and see where they center
it. I think we've got Steve back.
Okay.
Or no?
Yeah, I think I'm back. How am I coming through now?
Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit better. I'll see what they say, if they can modulate.
At least I can understand what you're saying. Before, it was just like, now I can hear a voice. It's better.
Okay, so we were just singing your praises about your years of commitment to getting the truth out and, you know, protecting all of our rights to have access to information. So now you can tell us. We don't have to talk about you.
Yeah, and let me just repeat what I just said a minute ago. I have tremendous respect for Paradigm. I think it's one of the most interesting attempts to get this idea out there, that there is something that we need to know and we need to sort of unravel some of the darker secrets that have been, you know, woven into our system of government for the last 50 years. But on the other hand, I think there's some fundamental differences that we might want to debate on and just, you know, see where the intersections occur. And I mean that in a very respectful way. That's why
sure.
I really enjoy having this opportunity.
Very good. I'd like to mention that, and I'm about to pull over here, but I'm on my way back to Los Angeles following the Laughlin Conference, the International UFO Congress.
Oh, okay.
And I'm passing these billboard signs. I've passed two of them already, advertising alien beef jerky.
Oh, God.
All right. This is apparently an up-and-coming, and these are very substantial signs off Highway 15. And you've got a big circle there with a nice logo, and in it is the classic alien, only it's green, not gray. They got that wrong. And they're selling alien beef jerky. And as we know, this is not the only product that uses this imagery.
Oh, Steve, I can top that. Listen to this. There's a product called GenePorter. It's one of the main software tools used for genetic analysis. I'm very familiar, by the way, with molecular medicine, that whole sort of genre of science. So, I mean, I follow the business trends there a lot. And one of the main advertisements that appeared in a lot of the major trade journals and also academic journals that carry advertising shows a picture of a saucer with a handful of green aliens coming out of it and saying, take me to your gene porter. I mean, this is from the major, one of the major software entities in the sort of biopharma IT world. I mean, this is an advertisement they put into the major trade journals. It's kind of interesting. And in fact, when I gave my talk on this concept I call intelligent panspermia at the Conscious Life Expo just a couple of weeks ago with Robin, I actually used that as one of my slides. I mean, it's a green alien sort of weird sort of way of looking at this idea. It's woven into many different areas of culture. And I'll start by saying I would think that probably two-thirds of the people I've talked to, certainly from other parts of the world, they already kind of agree that, yes, ET is out there, life's common. It's not, we're not special, we're just part of a larger cosmology. I think that's kind of a given. So, I mean, I'll start with that idea. But to see it woven into the advertising of major molecular medicine sort of companies, that's kind of an interesting twist on things.
Well, it's reflective, of course, of very powerful truth.
Yes, I agree with that.
We're in this transition in which the reality, the truth of something is acknowledged by the people, the public. They have a high awareness. They accept it. They're interested in it.
Yes.
But the government that these people pay for, that they have a social contract with, this government does not acknowledge this truth.
They can't.
Now, this is an unusual circumstance. It doesn't happen too often, but usually when it does, not good things happen.
I understand this, and I agree with you. I think the real problem here is a terrible disconnect between the reality of what most, especially younger people, are aware of, the internet, vast sorts of information that anyone can get access to from anyone on the planet, and the government is still living back in the 50s in terms of their mentality and how they see sort of global governance. And that's, I think, one of the major stumbling blocks that we're going to probably try to unravel today if we have a chance to talk about it.
It's been stated to me numerous times that, well, okay, so the government doesn't want to acknowledge that there's ETs here, but and the people know that it's true.
It's not the government. It's the corporations that represent the money that drives the government. That's kind of where we're probably going to be focusing a little bit, if I could be that bold.
So should we make those terms interchangeable, government, corporations, that we're, you know, that's what we're meaning?
The separation between government and corporate finance is inseparable. China may be the more extreme example, but I mean, this is a model that's becoming very common and has been very common. And that may be the most difficult thing we have yet to unravel. It's not the people that are elected to office necessarily. They're like the sores of a disease. But you have to sort of get into the cancer that creates the sores in the first place. And that's where it's going to be really interesting, you know, sort of a process to try to straighten it out or have an alternative. I'm not disagreeing that we shouldn't change this. I'm just saying knowing where the target is. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Focus point.
Yeah, but for those who don't think we need change, who think that this thing will just, it's not a big deal, just let this, kind of cognitive dissonance continue.
Yeah.
We have a problem, and there's two of them. One, this refusal to acknowledge the extraterrestrial presence by government, corporations, or whatever, has resulted in the sequestration of a significant amount of technological development based on ET-derived physics.
Agreed. I've seen it myself personally, so I'm convinced of that. I don't need to, right. You know, that part of we can certainly agree on.
And then secondly, and this is non-trivial, there are X number of people out there. How many we don't know. It is certainly in the hundreds of thousands, very possibly in the millions, and possibly in the tens of millions, who are already engaged by these extraterrestrials. They are dealing with them on a personal basis, physical contact, and they have they really have no way to address the matter. They are mostly closeted. The vast majority are still in the closet. They have no support from their government. And with the exception of some support they've gotten within a kind of developing community,
and here's,
they
here's
are essentially twisting in the wind.
And here's where I'm going to probably have an argument, but it's a polite and respectful argument. I don't think ET wants this to come out. I think that there are different species or varieties of ET. that have competing interests. We are a salvage site in the eyes of some. In the eyes of others, we are a genetic experiment that's probably not working out well, and they don't have any real positive intention for it, except to, you know, sort of see what happens and reset as it were. And I think there's others who probably are standing back saying, okay, let's see what happens here. But I mean, it's a mixed bag. I don't have the view that it's going to be utopian. It's all going to be warm and fuzzy, and let's all get together with ET and have a better planet. I think it's more like it's an experiment, and there's a competition as to who gets the rights to the salvage of whatever left from the remains of the experiment. That's what I see. And I welcome your
response. As far as how things will work out, well, you're right. We don't know, and there are no guarantees. But with respect to the point about you don't think the ETs want this to get out, we obviously only they know that for sure.
Of course.
We're pretty confident that there's more than one civilization engaging us.
Very much so, yeah.
So that we have multiple agendas, but we do know something about them.
Okay.
We're not completely ignorant.
Okay.
And one of the things we know is that they have been ostentatiously obvious going back to the late 1940s. Prior to World War II,
There
is evidence for contact. In fact, there's ancient evidence for contact.
I agree 100%. You can both compare.
Prior to World War II, it was not an issue that really needed to be addressed in a formal way. But after World War II and the explosion of sightings in 1947, that all changed. And since then, I mean, you've got flaps everywhere in the world. You've got millions of sightings. You've got landing cases. You've got children seeing them land craft near their schools.
Yep.
You've got contact memories coming out.
Yep.
So if the extraterrestrials don't want us to be aware of their presence, or they don't want the government, formal governments, to acknowledge their presence, let me tell you, what they are doing, their basic fundamental conduct.
Okay, guys, we will have to get back to your comments, Steve. We're at our first break, and we are flying away. You guys are doing
very good.
Fascinating.
Yep.
Fascinating conversation. I'm Dr. Robin Falca for Radio RMN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network with my guests Stephen Bassett and Charles Osmond. And stay with us, guys. We're coming right back.
Shines a light, we can share. Close your eyes and look up in between your brows.
Orgon Clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climate and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now 307-200-4503.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to ascensionenergyprogram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to ascensionenergyprogram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Robin Falca for Radio RMN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. I'd like to remind our audience to go to TalkStreamLive.com and vote under Raylan Allen for our show. We have ratings that you can watch change as you vote. So you can all participate, and you can also go to the chat room, chatroom, themicroeffect.com, and I will check there for questions, and you can reach me on Facebook and Yahoo Messenger with your questions, as well as calling in. I'll give those numbers during the next half hour. Okay, guys. Steve, you were making a point?
I was the basic point I was making was that...
Oh, you sound so much better.
Yeah, great phone.
If the extraterrestrials don't want the disclosure process to
some
advance,
some of them,
they're not. Well, some of them don't. Then their conduct doesn't seem to demonstrate that they are. They have generated by their actions and their lack of how would you say discretion. They've generated massive awareness of this issue worldwide, such that when you drive from Vegas to or down Highway 15 to L.A., you're seeing advertisements for alien beef jerky, or if you're passed by a U-Haul truck, it's got a big Roswell logo on the side with a saucer and so forth. So they have raised public awareness on this subject to the point that the penetration, market penetration of the acronym UFO or extraterrestrial in the first world is probably at 99%, which if any business or corporation had that kind of market penetration, they'd be a multi-billion multinational.
Well, let me see if I can offer an alternative point of view, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I think your observations are very, very on point, and I've studied this UFO topic from every conceivable angle that one can possibly imagine. Back when I was in my Los Alamos Star Wars days, even then, they were quiet discussions, but it was something you couldn't talk about, with any credibility and not risk your job. But let me share a couple of thoughts with you and see where this goes. For instance, on 9 separate occasions in 4 states, California, New Mexico, Arizona, and Hawaii, with military-grade Generation 3 night vision equipment and with others who are of similar professional background, I'm talking about pilots, people with previous national lab experience, people with all different kinds of scientific backgrounds, clusters of us would get together, we'd get out the equipment, and sure enough, we'd see these formations of things flying around, performing maneuvers that could not possibly be from traditional jet aircraft or even scramjets or any other kind of traditional sort of propulsion something that we know of. And I've seen them with myself, my own eyes. So my first thought was, okay, we're testing something. This is part of our new Star Wars agenda. We know that there is a move to weaponize space. I'm very against that idea, but I'm sorry to say it's being done. So is this part of something that we're testing? Could be. Is it something that is coming from out there and they're sending in more probes to kind of get a closer look and, see what the outcome is going to be? That could also be part of it. But I would offer you a couple of theories, and let me see where you might go with this. I agree 1,000% that ET's been around for a very long time. I would go back 100,000 years. I would say that in an earlier time, when the proto-hominids, and there were different species, here on the planet, different places, they dropped in, said, okay, here's a typical planet type, variety, whatever you want to call it. They've got these developing life forms. We're going to modify the closest thing that we can find that represents the potential, new intelligent life form, quote unquote. Did a few bit of tinkering with the DNA. Okay, so they came back time and again over, many thousands of years to kind of see, do an upgrade, as it were, kind of see what's going on. At a certain point, when civilization began to sort of form, become organized, we were given a series of lesson plans, and these came in the form of so-called spiritual avatars, whatever you want to call it. They had visions, and they communicated to the rest of the population. Follow these rules. If you do the right thing, if you don't kill each other, if you don't make horrible things happen, and by the way, be aware that at a certain point in time, there will come this sort of decision boundary, where you're going to have to figure it out, either collectively, sort of come to a new kind of paradigm of philosophy, spiritual awareness, whatever you want to call it, or you're probably going to succumb to your own demise and, terrible things will happen. This has been extremely consistent. Almost everyone on the planet, 5 major continents, throughout the Pacific Island community, and almost every culture you can look at, The story is the same every time. Angels from the sky, messengers from the stars, gods in winged chariots, you name it, they've been here. Okay, fine. So now we see these gigantic monuments, these fantastically complex structures that have been built, fantastic amounts of effort devoted to unbelievably accurate and sometimes, you know, beyond the range of human capacity as we understand to be, noting that stars that can't be seen with the naked eye were very accurately, you know, measured and made reference to. We were plotting the passage of the solar system to the galactic plane, which is happening right about now. Just about every culture that we know of has predicted something of great significance would happen right about now, roughly in the first third of the 21st century of the Julian calendar. It's so consistent it would be difficult to not, you know, have that conclusion. And, of course, there's now evidence in DNA that kind of suggests something strange is going on there. We can't explain it. Okay, fine. I think it's kind of a given. But now how do we interpret this? Well, I would interpret the following way. We're after World War II, and we all know about the Foo Fighters and all the encounters with the UFOs during the World War II conflict. We're quite aware of this. But right after this, okay, something dropped in that, look, they've crossed the line. They've now used nuclear weapons in a global war. This is not a good sign. We better have a look at this and get down to business and sort of see what's going on here. So, unfortunately, because of the politics of the day, because we're in conflict with the Soviet Union, things went in a rather bad direction. We coveted the technology that was recovered. A lot of corporations wrapped their agendas around the protection of these secret technologies. Because of the Cold War and the sort of Dr. Strangelove mindset of the day, it was seen as a national security issue to kind of cover these things. And because of that, a government within a government sort of was evolved and became this kind of autonomous entity. There were no rules, no oversight, no congressional attachment to policy. It was black budgets all the way. And if you look at patents and if you look at intellectual property wrapped around national security issues, you can kind of see where this is going. On the other side, I would imagine the Soviets had the same deal, perhaps in a different way, but something similar. What we have now is second and third generation remnants of that moment in time. And people are stuck in a very difficult political conundrum. They have to unravel this.
Hey, excuse me, Charles.
Okay, yeah.
I am sorry. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is going to fly, guys. This is fascinating.
Okay.
You got me. I'm just listening to you both.
Oh, gosh.
I'm Dr. Robin Falca for Radio RMN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network with our guests Stephen Bassett and Charles Osmond. And I know you want to hear the rest of this, so stay with us, guys.
Above the dark despair shines a light we can share.
Orgon Clodbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's OrgonProducts.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
Prisoner, rise and answer my question.
Yeah, it's a little dark in here, ain't it, Clink, now that you've busted the light?
Where are you?
Right in front of you.
Yes. Now, where have you hidden the wax figurine of the Kaiser?
I've got no bloody idea what you did to your wax figurine, and I don't care.
You are the prisoner!
That's right, and as such, I expect some answers out of you. Now, where did you put my stash of freeze-dried food?
We ate it. You ate it? It was quite good.
I'm sure it was. I'll have you know that was freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. That food rehydrates faster, stores longer, is nutritionally superior to, and tastes better than any other long-term storage food available. Now, let me out of here.
If you could get us some more, perhaps we could negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps I'll just confiscate your keys, Klaus, and let myself out the front door.
But wait.
I'm busy.
Get your own supply of delicious long-term storable food by dialing 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to ascensionenergyprogram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to ascensionenergyprogram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Hello and welcome back to Radio RMN. You are listening to us on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and I'm Dr. Robin Falkov, and many thanks to our listeners in the chat room who have been voting. We appreciate your efforts. And I'm back with Charles Osman and Stephen Bassett, and Charles was just finishing a point, and I'd like you guys to give out your websites and contact information at some point again during this half hour, and then I guess we're covering so much, I will give out the call-in numbers in the bottom of the next hour.
Okay, well, anyway, I didn't want to take over the whole conversation, forgive me, Steve, I just wanted to get across the basic sort of range of things that I think are the truth of what's going on, but of course I absolutely want to have your response, but that's what I'm trying to go for here, see where you connect or perhaps have a different alternative view. Steve?
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, what you described was a theoretical scenario for this, which I am aware of, and I kind of think is now becoming the standard model.
Okay.
Which means that a growing number of people in this field that have looked at it comprehensively,
yeah,
are picking up. I mean, this has a certain logic to it. What I would add to it is this: that back in February of last year, at the American Association for Advancement of Science meeting in Chicago, a scientist from the Carnegie Institute gave a presentation to sort of update them on the status of the extrasolar planet research. As most people know, there's been a lot of progress recently as our equipment and technology improves. We're starting now to identify, not surprisingly, planets around other stars.
Over 400 exoplanets, and now we're just having Earth-like ones as well.
Exactly. And the estimate that he presented was that within our galaxy, there may be somewhere between 10 billion and 100 billion Earth-like planets.
Yeah.
Not just any planets, but Earth-like planets.
Yeah, even Drake's equation, if you want to go back to a much more conservative view, even that equation gives you plenty of planets to work with. No question about that.
So the current number is beyond almost comprehension.
Right.
And so with that in mind, I believe that I would add a little of this to the model, that what we're going through right now is, in fact, happened countless times before, and that is the transition of a biosphere that has sentient, self-aware life in it from being essentially collectively not in acceptance of other such civilizations to collectively in full acceptance of that. In other words, passing through the disclosure event, as I like to call it. And that this has happened before.
Well, I agree.
Terrestrials have been through it before, and they know what's going to happen, and they know how it's going to come out.
Right.
And with that in mind, I would go further and say, and this is a big deal. It's obviously a planetary thing. It's a huge deal.
It's a cosmic
and that a great deal of what is going on in our planet today is not all that important to us. And what I mean by that is whether or not China has nuclear weapons or doesn't, or whether there's X number of totalitarian governments or less, whether the corporations are becoming too influential in America, none of that, frankly, means that much in the larger picture.
I agree, 1,000%. I agree.
Of this transition.
I have no problem.
And so as I approach the political problem of getting the disclosure event done, I try to operate at that level and not get too tied into all of the
detail minutiae of
human and terrestrial issues that we're engaged in all the time.
Please
focus on those things that are fundamental to this this transitional process.
Okay, and I agree with you, Steve, and I completely support. I very much ascribe to the same model. With just a couple small variables, if I may. Let's just presuppose for instance. We know about the mutilations. We know about people who have been abducted and subjected to various experiments. We kind of, get a pretty good picture of that. Some of this is not so friendly. And again, this is where I want to go with this. Oops, something strange has happened. We're being listened to by somebody. Anyway, the point is, I still have this model that there's different competing ETs, some of whom made deals with certain entities because it served their purpose. They wanted to harvest biological materials and, sort of follow up on their particular agenda. So they made a deal and said, look, we've already, made our deal with these particular flavors of Earthlings. This is what we're doing, and we're going to defend our interests here. And then the other ETs are probably more benign or have a sort of a larger view, but, I don't see ET as being perfect. I think they have the same character flaws and the same difficulties that we humans have had. They've been at it longer and have seen more trial and error. I'd also suggest to you, if I may, that there's a strong suggestion, to me at least, and others seem to see the same idea, that there's a kind of a version control going on. In other words, just like you said, this has happened many times before. No argument with that. It would seem to me that it would be logical to try, at least, to have some sort of preemptive way of adjusting these developments as they occur in various planets, knowing that if they just let them sort of willy-nilly go on their own way, they're probably going to get a lot of, sort of bad results. So the theory is let's collectively see if we can sort of affect the development and do a little DNA modification so it becomes more of a manageable sort of a neighborhood. However, there are some defects in the process. This is not a perfect process, and it's had some bad results. We may be one of those bad results, and I would offer to you, I look at something called the God part of the brain as an example. You look at the DNA that results in this particular neurochemistry, this region of the brain, that causes this almost kind of pathological commitment to believe that supersedes all forms of logic or reason. Interesting enough, in those research projects which have been done, including at UCSD, and by the way, I've been a member of AAAS for almost 10 years now, quite familiar with a lot of their programs, what's been interesting is about 30% of the population has been tested so far, had this examination. There's a certain range of the population that will succumb to this kind of, I'm not sure what you want to call it, sort of blind belief, regardless of what the situation is. They just cling to whatever makes that part of the brain respond, and there's a neurochemistry problem that occurs. And this may have been an attempt at an earlier time to create a population that would, you know, believe the Nestle Plan, believe in the sort of spiritual mythos, and use that as their guide. However, unfortunately, because of the way that mutations work in DNA, there are going to be unexpected consequences. What we see now in today's world is religious wars, fanatical beliefs, people driven to extreme sort of points of view that don't have anything to do with anything that we would ever discuss, but, you know, that's what they believe. And this may be our undoing. It's because of that overamplification of the gotten part of the brain that was part of this earlier preemptive genetic modification. Other ETs who are kind of watching all this and making note of it, I mean, at the very least, we serve as a kind of a node in the data stream of these, you know, various planetary experiments. But this is where we might have a disagreement, because even though some ETs are trying to make themselves seen and want to have the public become more aware so they can cause effective positive change, there are others who kind of like things the way they are, and they have their own agendas. How do you respond to that?
Well, with respect to the working model, one can, there's the basic working model, which you described initially, I have some comfortability with. But then, of course, one can then go deeper and deeper. They can increase the resolution and try to fill in more and more dots and figure out, okay, what is going on with respect to our history going back a million years, and what do these multiple ET civilizations want? What are they doing? Where are they going? And, of course, as we try to fill in more dots, our ability to have a certainty of the model being correct, the margin for error grows. I have discussions with people all the time about some of these more deeper, high-resolution interpretations of what's going on, and they're all interesting to me, and I look forward to the day when we can sort this out and get a clear, perhaps even full picture of not only human history, but obviously to some degree the history of ET involvement, even outside of our solar system. So, but the problem, of course, is that you can only go so far with that. Without more data points, without more information, we're just basically building a Legos model that may or may not be real. And so for me, there are like three, I break it down into three kind of sections. One, there is the transition process that I mentioned, which leads to the disclosure event, it leads to the formal acknowledgement of extraterrestrials, it leads to this, what I call the post-disclosure world.
Yeah.
That's one section. The other section is, what have ETs been doing with us prior to that day? How far back? How much involvement? Have they dealt with our DNA? Have they been involved with us in a highly physical way? Have they tried to manipulate our ideas, our thinking, and what have you? And then thirdly, and have they been getting into even very, even bigger, more nuts and bolts activity as we have approached this disclosure event, which is the sense that I have.
Yeah.
And then the third section is, okay, what's going to be their actions and what's going to be happening with us after disclosure in the post-disclosure world? Will their actions change? Will uninvited contact stop? Will it alter? And so forth. Will we have open formal agreements with them? Will we be able to exercise some free will with respect to what our relationships are? These are the three compartments I work with.
Yeah.
And again, I try not to go too deep into that because without more information, we can't resolve it. But I try to at least paint that fundamental picture for people, just the average person out there that's trying to understand what in the hell's going on here, so that they can have some basis to think about this, because disclosure is inevitable. It is going to happen, and the formal acknowledgement of extraterrestrials in the post-disclosure world is coming, whether one wants it or not, whether one's comfortable or whether one's ready or not.
So I agree with that.
That's my response to that.
I agree with that. That's a good summation. I certainly understand that perspective. My thought would be, and here's one more thought just to throw in there. At a certain point, the U.S. had the political and economic power to kind of project its will upon the rest of the world. That no longer exists. We can't really dictate, you know, how the rest of the world is going to respond to us. And that's why, you know, say England, China, Russia, Mexico, most of South America, Brazil especially, just about everyone in the world really is kind of saying, okay, we better get up to the plate here and start working on this. We're the only country that's not, you know, going along with this idea. That's interesting. I mean, how? What's your sense of that?
Yeah, I've talked about that many times. Again, within my working model, one of the data points is that the United States has led the truth embargo since 1940s.
I agree with you.
Because of the circumstances at the time,
yeah.
We were obviously critical to the success of the Western powers against the Axis powers in World War II, and everyone knew that, and they were very grateful for our efforts in the defeat of Nazi Germany and, of course, Japan. And then, as the Soviet threat emerged almost immediately, with the likelihood of nuclear weaponry being involved, and also missile technology, it was also clear the United States was the only nation in the world that had the resources and the technology to counter that Soviet threat.
I worked in the very lab that made that technology, so I understand completely. You're 100% right in your observation.
Yeah, at that point, I think the U.S. was the one that made the call regarding the ET issue, and we wanted to contain it until we knew more about it, and until the Cold War, or the war that was developed, the potential war developed in the Soviet Union, was clarified, and there it was kind of a similar to what happened in the Manhattan Project.
Yeah.
We moved aggressively to develop the atomic bomb. We informed England and basically said, look, you know, we want to do this. We want to go ahead, and England said, okay, fine. We sort of kept them informed. We did not inform, however, our Soviet allies at the time. But we were the big dog on the porch, there's no question. And so the reason that these other countries are releasing all their documents and positioning themselves while the U.S. stands pat,
exactly,
is that the U.S. is the nation that will likely make the final call and disclose, and these nations have the luxury of positioning themselves ahead of the issue,
right,
as well as putting some pressure on us, because I think they want access to that technology.
Yeah.
And so the U.S. will be the last nation to break, because if the U.S. were to release those files,
yes, I understand that.
It would trigger a massive media response and end the embargo, and it's the U.S.'s decision to end the embargo. This is the way I view what's happening since.
And your view is very accurate, except for one small detail, and forgive me, this is the point where we're probably going to argue a little bit. The religious far right, and I'm not trying to impugn anyone's religious beliefs. I have a lot of respect for people's faith. I personally look at Jesus Christ as one of the greatest events in our human history. But the fanatical far right that has this weird agenda where they really do see Armageddon and they see the talk of the four horsemen and all that stuff. They really do visualize this is how they want to see the world play out. I mean, these guys are lunatics, and yet they have had their grip on the inner world of these other black projects and how these things are dealt with and how they want to see their worldview played out. This is a danger. This is like a pathology. It's like a psychosis that has taken over sort of the inner cabal of the folks that have that kind of power. That's the part where things are going very badly. And I kind of, if you want to expand on that, I'd be happy to hear your thoughts.
This is complicated.
Yes, it is. That's right. That's why I'm asking.
We're dealing with several things at once. One, we have in our religious matrix in the United States, we do have what we call the fundamentalist sector, which is filled with a number of different faiths that are essentially fundamental. And most people know what you're talking about when you say fundamentalist. They have gotten a very bad rap about this. And the idea is that they would go mad or crazy if disclosure were to take place, and they'd be incredibly upset and do a lot of destructive things.
I think that's sort of the view they hold. Yeah.
I don't agree with that. I believe the fundamentalist Christians in America have had some bad leaders, but then I guess we could say that of just about everybody.
We certainly can.
Common denominator for the human race.
Yeah. Self-appointed leaders who go on radio shows and say, or television shows, and say really stupid things.
Yeah.
And so the people have come to assume that the fundamentalist Christians are essentially in lockstep with these leaders. They're not. And by and large, fundamentalists, while they tend to have some limited, narrow
interpretations of the world. They pretty much want to be left alone. There is a missionary component within the evangelical world. They like to convert, but nevertheless, they pretty much want to be left alone. And I have some firsthand experience with this because my sister happens to live in the absolute heart of the Bible Belt in the Panhandle of Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I've been there many times.
Sure.
And I am quite confident that in the post-disclosure world, once extraterrestrials are considered absolutely the standard, standard fare, that they will not be affected that much, that they will continue to practice their religion the same way.
I agree with you. But the Vatican,
right.
I mean...
I was just thinking of that with the recent Vatican announcement.
Right. Pope Benedict, who was called the enforcer by Pope John Paul, who I have tremendous respect for, Pope Benedict came out and said, you know, E.T., probably we can accept that. We can open our tent to be that wide. They've been funding this gigantic observatory in Arizona. They have exobiologists on their staff. I've talked to one of them. I mean, they're not stupid. They get this. But where I'm trying to go is, and look, I've talked to a lot of young evangelicals, kids in college. I live right near the UC Berkeley campus. They're open-minded. They get it. They're not crazy at all. What scares me, though, is this inner cabal, these sort of Dr. Strangelove types, who are fanatical. And these are the older guys that date back to an earlier time. They still want to see their strange world become the world that they visualize. Even though, you're right, the average garden variety person that studies the Bible and studies Scripture and wants to follow that pastor, they're not buying this craziness at all. That's not where I was going with this. But they're not the ones who I have concern about. It's this sort of inner cabal.
Well, I'm getting to that part.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I'm going to address that. I wanted to first address what I would call the fundamentalist Christian faith in America.
Sure.
And
so then, why don't we let Steve finish making that point? And
the fundamentalist Christian have been used as kind of a scapegoat. They've been included in the propaganda being put out by the government for, well, why we need to be afraid of disclosure.
I agree. I understand that.
All of this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Now there is another element, which we'll call the catastrophists.
Yeah.
And these are individuals who do have sort of a fixation on end of the worldism. There is certainly a strain of this end of the world concept in evangelical Christian faith. But okay, fine. I mean, that they could believe that. That's not particularly a threat, in my opinion, to anybody. But there are a few of what I call the catastrophists who have worked possibly their way into some positions of power and
more than some. I should counter that because I've talked to some people. They are scary.
I believe that one of the reasons this is an issue now is because of the circumstances regarding George W. Bush.
Mm.
In that he became president in 2000. And for many reasons, but one of them was that, unlike his father, who didn't really care, he embraced the evangelical world, and he used that resource to help win that election. And so,
that was a Karl Rove and the other comrades of that nature. They invented this thing to put him in power. You're exactly right.
And I think within the group that Bush was surrounded by were a few of these catastrophists.
Yes.
And so we got a bit of a glimpse of that.
Yeah.
But I'll be frank with you. I believe they're a small element. I think that when you look at the vast number of people that are involved in the military intelligence, national security structures, as well as the other elements of our government, that these catastrophists are a tiny portion. And that by and large, the vast majority of people in government are not going to buy into that, and they're not going to do anything. They're not going to cause any major issues. They have been a pain. They have done some damage, perhaps, and they're irritating.
Yeah.
But in a larger scheme of things, they're a bit player. So I'm not particularly worried about that. I'm not surprised. But let's be clear.
Yeah.
There are two very profound strains of views that have stuck with humans for a very long time.
Okay.
And one of them is catastrophism, and the other is messianism.
Yeah.
And these two views are still alive today. They are, I don't think, a serious threat to what I would call the total global involvement.
But they are notable, and they stem primarily from the fact that life is tough. As I think that the fellow who wrote the book, it's swept my mind. But he starts off, it's a very famous book, maybe you know about it, and I think the very opening line in the book is that life is difficult. And it is, and for the vast, you know, straight stretch of human history, people suffer enormously. They go through hell while they're alive, and they have to put up with a great deal, and life can be pretty miserable. And so, one of the ways that, you know, the sentient, thoughtful, very bright people, in Homo sapiens sapiens, have dealt with this is that they have developed this idea that there will be someone or something that will come and take this pain away.
And there
will be an end to all of this, and all of their oppressors and all those things which bring them pain will also go away once. And that's something we're still dealing with. And we will.
Okay, guys, we will have to get back to that, and you will be answering when we return, Charles. I'm Dr. Robin Falkov for Radio RMN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network with my guests Stephen Bassett and Charles Osmond. And we will be right back with you guys at the top of the hour.
Orgon Clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to ascensionenergyprogram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to ascensionenergyprogram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.